Good morning and welcome to another Wednesdays in the Word of Study. Hi, my name is Gary Cooney. I'm so glad you could join with me as we have an opportunity to spend some time together this day in God's Word. We're in the midst of an extended study of the book of Romans. We're now currently in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, and I want to pick up our reading today and our study today in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. A passage that we began to look at the last time we were together. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We've been talking throughout about this point in Romans chapter 8 about some of the role, some of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who is indwelling the life of the believer. One of those great outcomes of repentance and faith, of responding to the gospel. The Holy Spirit works a number of ways in the life of the believer as he indwells us. Certainly helping us is Romans 7. And then into the beginning of Romans 8 is focused on dealing with that war going on between the new person we've become in Christ and the old man that we were, which is working to usurp the new man that we are by warring against us within, the battle of the flesh and the spirit. And the Holy Spirit becomes our source of strength in the midst of that. We've also seen that the Holy Spirit is indwelling the believer for a number of other reasons beyond strength. We talked about the Holy Spirit indwelling us to give us certainty and assurance within that we are redeemed people, that we are children of God. And such assurance is such a blessing for us. It doesn't come simply because of intellectualizing the truths, but because the Holy Spirit, deeper than that, gives us an assurance of heart. Then we also discovered that the Holy Spirit works within the life of the believer to give them an assurance of a certainty about the future inheritance that is theirs in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lots of things that the Holy Spirit is doing to help us in the midst of our innate weaknesses as frail people living within a fallen world. Last time, as we began to look at these two verses, verses 26 and 27 together, we were talking about how the Holy Spirit, in addition to those other things I just mentioned, how the Holy Spirit works to help us in our weakness as it's reflected in our prayer life. Certainly the message that we're getting in these verses needs to be given to each one of us. God says we're weak when it comes to prayer. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. There are none of us as redeemed people who are not weak in prayer. Now, God is not saying that we're weak in prayer because we don't try to pray. No, he's saying inherently there's a weakness that must be compensated for by the Holy Spirit in each of our lives when it comes to our prayer life. We are ultimately infirm and inadequate when it comes to prayer. You and I don't know how to pray well. Doesn't mean we don't pray, just means we don't know how to pray well. We need help. Now, we talked last time about some of the reasons why we are weak in prayer. One of those reasons is that we are simply unable to have perspective on our life and the issues that confront us. You and I are human beings living in the moment in space and time. We simply can't see the end from the beginning. We can't understand all of God's purposes that are unfolding around us and intersecting our lives. So when it comes to praying about things in our lives, we're weak because we don't have right perspectives. Not because we're being disobedient, it's because of our finiteness. And by the way, that's also the key. I need to keep reminding myself, even as a redeemed child of God, that I am finite. I am not infinite. I still remain God's creature, even though adopted now as his child. No, I am finite. I'm merely a person, a human being. I'm not God. I stay a creature. I'm not now a creator. That's why when I approach prayer, I need to pray for God's purposes and will, because I could never understand the circumstances of my life well enough to demand anything from God, and neither can you. Prayer is no place for presumption or pride. Prayer is a place of expressing our weakness and our finiteness and our need of dependency upon God. That's why in prayer, we are to follow the practice of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember in Luke chapter 22, in verse 42, on that night leading to the crucifixion, he says, "Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." You and I always, in responding to God, say, "Listen, this is what I think is good. This is what I would like. But what I really want is your will, and may your will be done, because I am finite and simply lack perspective. I don't want you answering prayer according to what I think should be. I want you answering prayer according to what you know is best. Not my will, but thine be done." And as we understand that weakness, which we expanded on a lot the last time together, it becomes perfectly clear to us why our loving Heavenly Father gave us the Holy Spirit to indwell us, because the Holy Spirit steps in at that very finiteness and weakness each one of us possesses. He helps us by interceding for us, speaking to God on our behalf. We talked about how the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, the Lord Jesus intercedes for us, the Lord Jesus intercedes for us before the Heavenly Father, pleading the shed blood of the cross to cover our continuing stumblings and failures. So his intercession has to do with forgiveness. The intercession on the part of the Holy Spirit on our behalf, the third person of the Trinity on our behalf, has to do with overcoming our finiteness, our innate weakness, when it comes to knowing even what to pray for and how to pray. And it says he speaks on our behalf. He communicates with groans that are simply too deep for words, groaning too deep for words. The Holy Spirit, and we said this last time, expresses the inexpressible from us. And that is able to be communicated to the Heavenly Father on our behalf. Well, that's what we've seen so far. Now, as we continue to consider these all-important verses, 26 and 27 in Romans chapter 8, now in verse 27, "And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Now we remind ourselves, as God has revealed it here, that the Father knows both our heart and the Holy Spirit's mind about issues related to prayer. The Heavenly Father knows our deepest thoughts. He knows our deepest needs. He already knows what is deep in me and what is deep in you. Hey, listen, prayer is not about somehow informing God about something he doesn't know about. That's not why we pray. God already knows all there is to know. He already knows all there is to know about you or about me. He searches deep within to know the deepest me and the deepest you. He sees our heart of hearts. That's the point. And therefore, he knows. By the way, in verse 27, he who searches the hearts knows. That word knows translates the Greek word eidon. And the Greek word eidon refers to factual knowledge. God knows for a fact everything there is to know about me and about you. He knows our heart of hearts. He knows the deepest stirrings and yearnings within. Everything there is to know about our circumstance and situation and personhood, he knows already. He knows it factually. And he cares about what he knows. And he continues to have that knowledge. It's a present tense here, meaning he actively and continually searches our hearts. He's not acting in my life today based on what he knows was true yesterday. He knows what's true at this moment, and he knows what's true at this moment in you, my listener. That's the God that we serve, the omniscient God. He knows. He knows. He knows. So prayer, whatever else it is not primarily about telling God something he doesn't know about you or from you. He already knows. He already knows. So that's not what prayer essentially is about. Now, by the way, that fact that God knows, Adon knows factually, is a source of truth that is a great terror to those who are not right with God, a terror to the unsaved, particularly. Now, much of Romans has been layering out for us the truths of being saved or unsaved and the need for the gospel to be the power of God unto salvation, because all have sinned and come short and all face the wages of sin, which is death. Hey, listen, God's knowledge is a source of terror when people have not responded to the gospel. Consider how God puts it in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. That truth is true for everybody who's ever lived. God knows what is true of the heart. He knows the deepest you. And if you don't know Christ, there is no hope before God because of that. Because there'll never be a time where when I stand before God, I can twist the truth, try to reframe what's been going on within my heart and within my life in such a way that it looks better than it really is. No, God knows absolutely everything there is to know. A source of terror for the one who realizes there's a lot of cover-up that would need to be done when I finally stand before the God who is really there and have to account for my life. And of course, no amount of cover-up will work. The only thing that would help any of us is to be covered by the life of another, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is what the gospel is all about. Now, while this knowledge of God's Adon, his factual understanding and knowledge of everything that's going on at the deepest of us, well, that's a source of terror for the unbeliever. The primary reason it's being emphasized here in Romans 8, 26 and 27 is because it's meant to be a source of great comfort, not terror, but comfort for the redeemed, for the believer. God knows everything there is to know about me as his redeemed child. He knows all of my deepest longings, all of my deepest fears, all of my deepest confusion. Everything that I would be dealing with in prayer, he already knows. He's searched out my heart. He understands that truth. He knows already all of the facts. Does that mean I don't need to say anything to God? Well, of course not, because prayer serves a lot of functions, and certainly conversation with God is what that's about. But I'm not interacting with God in prayer to somehow let him know something he doesn't already know, which means it's silly for me to try to cover up anything. I might just as well be honest with God and simply, at least at that point in my life, be totally transparent and respond to God with what he already knows to be true. How foolish is it for the believer to somehow try to pull the wool over God's eyes or even over his own eye or her own eye by not admitting what is true when it comes to prayer? Prayer is a place for great transparency and honesty, understanding that the one we're talking to already knows. There's comfort in that for you and I. And not only does he know what's true, but he knows what our needs are in light of all of that. And so when we come before him, which he commands us to do and encourages us to do, he already knows those needs. That's the God we serve. That's one of the great benefits of being redeemed. And now we're discovering that the Holy Spirit who indwells us has a role in the midst of those very issues of prayer to help us in our weakness to communicate to God in a way we could not otherwise about the prayer needs of our life. Here's the point When we think about the God who is really there, our Heavenly Father, we need to remind ourselves that He knows not only what we want, because He searches our hearts, He knows all of that. More importantly, almost, He knows exactly what we need. You see, want and need are not the same thing, are they? God knows what we need. He not only knows what we want. He not only knows all of that inner deepest issue going on and confusion going on and debate going on. He also knows in every issue that affects our life what is the true need that we have in the midst of it. When it comes to prayer, we simply, you and I, don't know. Remember back in verse 26, for we don't know what to pray for. But God knows the deepest heart of the person. We don't know. And when I come before God, it's okay for me to say, God, I really don't know what to pray about. I really don't know how to even to pray about this situation or that situation. That's okay. God already knows that. And He's reminding us that He knows that. And therefore, it's okay for us to voice that. But He's also telling us, settle your heart. Because even though you don't know, I know. So bring the issues to me. Let's talk about them. Let's share together in them. I know. And more than that, I know the mind of the Holy Spirit. There is perfect communication within the Godhead between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God the Father is saying, I know the mind of the Holy Spirit, who is interceding for you in groans too deep for words. I know what He is saying. I know what the focus is. I know. I know who you are. I know what you want. I know your confusions. I know what you need. And I know what the Holy Spirit is saying on your behalf before me. Can you rest in the knowing that God is talking to us about here? I hope you can, because that's part of the hope and assurance of our life as a believer. And let's understand, the Holy Spirit, as He tells us here, intercedes for the saints according to the will of God, which means the Holy Spirit's message and communication to the Father always is perfect. What do I mean? He's always praying, ultimately, verbalizing what can't even be verbalized in us in a way that is in accord with the will of God. We are always, therefore, in our prayers, asking God for what is His perfect will to be done. The Holy Spirit ensures that that happens. I was thinking in light of that, of the promise in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 about prayer. Let me read it to you. And this is the confidence we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know we have the request that we've asked of Him. You see it? If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, then we know that we have the request. We here in Romans 8 discover the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. He intercedes on our behalf. He speaks to the Heavenly Father on our behalf. And what He speaks about in the petition laid before the Father is always in accordance with God's will. When the Holy Spirit works with us in our prayer, our requests are always right. Our requests are always in line with the will of God. And what does 1 John tell us that I read you? We places our confidence toward Him that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know we have the request. Talk about help. The Holy Spirit is working in my life and in your life as His redeemed children of God, and He helps us so that all of the prayer that ultimately gets expressed to the Father is petition in line with the perfect will of the Father. And because that's the case, we have the confidence in John 5, the hope of that, verses 14 and 15 in John 5, 1 John 5, that says, if we ask according to His will, He hears us, and He answers. we have help in our prayer life. I hope you can sense that wonder. The Holy Spirit helps us. Now, let me build on that just a little bit further. These things are true even if I don't know cognitively what it is the Holy Spirit specifically is praying on my behalf. I don't have to know. I just have to know that it's going on, not the specifics of what is being interceded. I can know that I'm being prayed for properly. I can know that as I come to God in prayer, the Holy Spirit helps me in my weakness. I can know that ultimately what's being expressed to God from the deepest levels of who I am through the work of the Holy Spirit is in harmony with the will of God. We can know that our prayers are heard and answered in accordance with the will of God. The Holy Spirit always prays for us in a manner that is best for us. He knows properly the right response to the burdens that we feel. Now, God says all of that to us because he wants us to feel at peace in the midst of confusion, at peace in the midst of our not making sense out of things in our lives exactly, at peace even though we ourselves are not quite sure how things in our lives should best work out or in the lives of others that we care about. God says, I want you to still have peace and assurance. I want you to know that the indwelling Holy Spirit is working on your behalf and he is searching out your heart and he's taking these very concerns and presenting them to me in line with my perfect plan and will so that they will be answered according to my will. Rest in that wonder and rest in that truth. Therefore, when it comes to prayer, you and I, as redeemed children of God, can and should always freely express our desires in prayer to the Lord. It's not a place for cover-up, it's a place for transparency. Communicate what you feel. Communicate what you desire. But in so doing, communicate it resting in the fact that there is one, the Holy Spirit, who helps us in our weakness. So even though I've laid it on the table, to the best of my ability, I've sought to be transparent and clear, even in my confusion before God, even free to say the things I think ought to be done about stuff, I can still rest in the Holy Spirit's assistance so that ultimately my prayer is in harmony with God. I can be free of fear in prayer because God will answer my prayer in accordance with the intercession of the Holy Spirit. I can't pray wrongly. What does that mean? I've heard people sometimes tell people, well, be careful what you pray about because God may give you that just to teach you a lesson. Brothers and sisters, that's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible says, even in sharing what is your real desire about stuff, don't worry in so doing, but instead understand that what you're really wanting is God's will, not what you would think would be best, and therefore you always end your prayers, nevertheless not my will but thine be done, and you rest in the fact that the Holy Spirit who helps us in our weakness is ultimately praying in a way and in a fashion in line with that perfect will of the Father, then that our prayers will be answered in that way. We never have to be fearful. I don't ever have to be worried that somehow I framed the prayer wrongly or I've somehow leveraged God to have to do something on my behalf because I said it in this fashion. That's really not the right thing and really not the right tool. No. The Holy Spirit ensures that our prayers align with the will of God. Hey, listen. I've said before, prayer is no place for pride and presumption. You and I should never come before God in the prideful presumption of assuming we know what's best. And then because we follow a particular procedure in prayer, using a particular terminology, or somehow gathering enough people to agree with us, that we can force God's hand. God is not a heavenly genie who's there to grant you three wishes. No. That's not what prayer is about. It's a distortion of what prayer is about. Prayer is a place for us to petition the burdens of our hearts. And in so doing, know that God hears, that he cares, that he knows, and that God will answer in accordance with what is best, what is his will. And the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life is an indwelling presence. And the assistance that the Holy Spirit gives us ensures, in point of fact, that's what will be done. That's why I always end prayer, and you should always end prayer, with saying, well, Lord, I've laid it all out on the table. You know what I want, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy be done. And I don't even know all that the Holy Spirit has groaned out of my heart, but I thank you that he's done it. And I thank you that it is a loving Heavenly Father. You do what is best, and you will do what is best. And it is that I'm ultimately asking you for. I don't really need to know how to pray. I don't really need to know what to pray for. I can still go to God in prayer. I can still share my heart as best I'm able with the Heavenly Father. I can still cast my burdens upon him. And I can do all of that knowing that the Holy Spirit assists me as I'm interacting with God in my prayer life, assists me in my weakness, as these two wonderful verses in Romans 8 put it. So, we've been looking at the Holy Spirit's ministry and the different things the Holy Spirit is doing, empowering us in our battle with sin and temptation, assuring us of security as redeemed children of God, adopted into the very family of God, assuring us of our inheritance to come, and now discovering he assures us of help in the midst of the very frail reality of our weakness in prayer. And he says, take these words to heart. Pray before me, come before me, and know that I'm enabling you even in your weakness, so that as you express your needs to me, they're going to be answered in accordance to the perfect will of God. Can you rest in that today? I hope that you can. And I hope these two verses in Romans chapter 8 become a blessing in your life as you remind yourself of the wonder of these promises about prayer. Now, next time, we will turn to the next passage in Romans 8:28, which says, we know that those who love God, for those all things work together for good, to those who are called according to his purpose. And we'll begin to investigate how to better face the unexpected as that unfolds in our lives. Join me then, won't you? And God bless.